Perek Gimel, Mishnah Zion. Ein mashchizen es hazaken b'yom tov. A person is prohibited from sharpening his knife on yom tov with a mashchezes, with a knife sharpener. Because we consider it mitaken kli as if you're fixing a utensil, and you can't do that on yom tov. Aval but, mesiyah agav b'chaverta. What you could do is you could take one knife and then pass it over another knife and then sharpen it like that. Because since that's not a tikkun gamur, it's not a full fixing, rather it's just like klachaya, it's like a shino, it's a little bit different than what you normally do from the weekday, so that would be permitted to sharpen your knives on Yom Tov, because it's not the normal way, and it's not a complete sharpening. So it's not really like you're fixing the utensil. Okay, next. Lo yomar adam lo tabach, a person cannot tell a butcher on Yom Tov, shkoli bediner baser, wait for me a dinner's worth of meat. Dinner is the coins during the Mishnah time. So let's just say he says, wait for me a pound of meat, or wait for me $10 worth of meat. So you can't tell him that on Yom Tov, because you cannot be posting dummim. You cannot set prices on Yom Tov. It's prohibited. And the truth is, we learned this already in yesterday's Mishnah. But the commentaries they have a wonder over why they're repeating this. So it's a question why it's been repeated. Food for thought. Why the Mishnah is repeating it? Avoshochi, but the butcher could slaughter on Yom Tov. Umechalkim b'neihem, and then divide the pieces of the animal like you would normally divide it. Like you normally would. So if this guy wants, half a piece, I'll give him half a piece. If he wants a quarter, I'll give him a quarter. As long as he's not mazgir stamav, if he doesn't mention the price, right? As long as he doesn't mention the price, then he could just divide this portion and that portion and that leg and this arm. It's okay. But not to mention the price. And again, we already mentioned this in the previous Mishnah, and it says here, check the Tosfos Yom Tov, who has a big kasha on the Mishnah, why he's repeating it. But that's what we have for here. That's Mishnah Zion. Mishnah Ches. And with this, we'll conclude Perek Gimel. Omer Adam Lachaveri, a person is permitted to tell his friend. Here the friend is the Chenvani, the merchant. So you can tell a merchant on Yom Tov, Mali Li Kli Zeh. Take this utensil and fill it up with me, fill it up for me with oil or with wine. Even though we're talking about a utensil that is miyuchad lamida, it's a measuring utensil. It's a measuring cup, right? It fills up exactly a half a cup or a quarter of a cup or whatever it is. So as long as you say, fill up this cup for me with oil or with wine, but you don't specify how much, that's okay. Avalobamida. But don't mention a specific measurement. Don't say, Mali Lugze, fill this up for me for a measurement of a lug. Let's say half a cup or whatever it is, right? Don't say that. Rather, just say stam. Fill up this utensil for me, this measuring cup for me with oil, with wine, and don't say any specific amount. Because since during the week, right, you normally use the measurement amount. You say, I want a half a cup, I want a third of a cup, whatever it is. So that's prohibited on Yom Tov, because that's the normal way of business. But if you just say, fill it up for me, just in general, so you don't know, how much of a measurement you want, so then, the merchant will think that he's giving it to you as a gift, or he's lending it to you. So therefore, that would be the permitted way to say it on Yom Tov, even though this cup is designated for measuring. So that's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Don't mention a measurement. Just say, fill it up, stam. And then, you can take it from him and make your cheshbon, make your account after Yom Tov. However, Rabbi Yehuda says that no. If this utensil is a measuring cup, lo yimalenu, don't use it at all. Even if you just say, fill it up for me without specifying a measurement. He doesn't like this idea. He doesn't want using measuring cups. It looks too much like business. And whether you stipulate an amount or you don't stipulate an amount, he's stringent and he says that you can't use these measuring cups on Yom Tov. Okay. He argues on the Tanna Kamma. Maisa, there was a story about Abishal ben Batnas, Abishal, the son of Batnas. Shayim Mamali Midosev, he would fill up his measuring cups, may Erev Yom Tov, and before Yom Tov would set in. But Nos and the Lakachos, and he give it to the buyers, be Yom Tov on Yom Tov. Like Rabbi Huda's opinion, because she'en malam kli mida b'yamtav, that you cannot fill up a measurement cup on Yom Tov, regardless of the case. So you fill it up before Yom Tov and then give it out to the buyers on Yom Tov. So that supports Rabbi Huda's opinion. Abishal Omer, Abishal says, af ben moed, even a chala moed, when technically you could be measuring, right? Because it's not Yom Tov anymore. Still, Osa Ken of the Berurah Hamidos. He would still fall out prior because of Berurah Hamidos for clarity in the measurements. Meaning on Cholamoid, many people would come to him to learn Torah because they weren't going to work on Cholamoid. Below Haisalo Shas, he didn't have time to set up the measurements. Lavar Yafas Amidos, Shati and Ashleim was Bloketzav. If he was so busy teaching them Torah, he didn't have time to, you know, set up all the orders in a way that he's not overflowing the measurements. Below Ketzav, Ketzav is frost, right? If there's too much, if he gives frost towards the measurements, he's giving them extra. So he didn't have time during the Cholamoid to make sure the measurements were exact. So at night, you know, before they would come, he'd fill up the measuring cups with exactly what they needed, so that on the day when they came, and it was Cholamoid, and he didn't have time because he was teaching them Torah, he didn't have time to start, you know, allocating the measurements. He already had them measured beforehand, the night before, so that everyone got an exact amount, and that no one got, you know, more than more bang for their buck, right? They got what they paid for. The Chacham would say, even during the weekday, forget about Chol HaMoed, even during the weekday, Shemi Be'erev, right, that in the evening, he fill up the measurement cups. He also say shemen with oil, for example. And then he would have the utensils, the pitchers of the buyers already at his store, and he'd fill up the buyers, you know, pitchers and cups from the measuring cup the night before they came, right? Why? But they mitzoy hamidos, in order that the oil should totally drip out into the buyer's utensil. For example, he would have a measuring cup. He fill it up with half a cup of oil. Then he'd pour that half a cup into the buyer's, you know, flask that he would use to make to transfer to his house. And in order to make sure that all the oil dripped out of the measuring cup, he'd make sure he would hang it over and let it drip, drip, drip till everything came out. And that's where the next day, right, he would do this even during the weekday. So the next day when the buyer would come pick up his flask, he'd get his full amount. Otherwise, if he did it on the spot, it could be that the buyer wouldn't get everything. Not everything would drip into the flask. So therefore, even during the weekday, he would do it the night before, so that when the buyer would come back the next day, and, you know, he had left his flask there the night before also, so he'd come pick up his flask, and the flask would be totally, totally full, and he'd get exactly what he'd paid for, so everything would be exact. Yeah, so it wasn't like the buyer came and said, here's my flask, fill it up. He already had the buyer's flask the night before. He'd measure the oil in his measuring cup, pour it out, and make sure that every single drop went out. He had plenty of time, and the next day, the buyer would come pick up his flask. Okay, and finally, holy adam, a person can go on Yom Tov, Eitzel Chavani, to a merchant, haragel etzlo, that he's accustomed to going, meaning he's got store credit, right? And he doesn't have to start setting up prices, because whatever he takes, the merchant will come collect it from him after Yom Tov. So then a person could go, even on Yom Tov, to this merchant, va'omer lo, and tell him, ten li beitzim, give me some eggs, va'agozim, and give me some walnuts, b'minyan, in an amount. I mean, he doesn't say a measurement, but he says, hey, give me 10 eggs, or give me 50 walnuts. So there's no measurement being stipulated over here, but the amount that he's saying will go on his credit, go on his account. And then that amount will just bring up whatever he owes him. So that's okay. Shekein derech baal bayis liot moneh b'toch beiso. A baal bayis is normal for a baal bayis to count in his house, meaning it's normal for an owner of a house to count in his own house. So it's just like a parable, right? This guy's going into the merchant's store. He's like the owner there. It's like, you know, he's already accustomed. They all know him. He could count in the store, even though it's not his store. He could count there because he's not mentioning any specific price, right? And the store owner knows what he means. He puts it on his credit. And the next day he comes back and says, okay, you got 50 walnuts. This is what you owe me. So again, since the key is you're not mentioning a purchase price, so you could say, I want, you know, 100 walnuts or whatever it is, and the next day he'll come and say, this is what your bill was, and pay him after Yom Tov. So that's the end of Mishnah Ches. The idea here is that you're not mentioning purchase prices, you're just doing everything in a roundabout way to pick up what you want to order, and then the next day you pay your merchant, and that wraps up Mishnah Ches and Perek Gimel.